wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Experience in the pit and out of it. The question is often asked, what do you know? It's what we know by personal experience that really counts. So my message is on experience. The younger generation is annoyed by this as they try to bypass it. But in all phases of life, we must fall back on experience. And so in the spiritual realm, we must each one have a personal experience with the Lord. You may claim to be a Christian and outwardly talk and live like one too. But I warn you that the day of trouble is ahead, when the storm will break, and then only the real Christian who has had an experience with God will stand, and you will discover that you were never born again by a real experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some, upon learning some Bible verses about salvation and eternal life, dare to claim these blessings. But every Bible promise insists upon a personal experience with God, without which the blessing cannot be obtained. As certainly as the Bible tells of a personal Savior and a personal salvation, it also insists upon a personal experience. Others have an experience, but it is only a religious experience. They did go to the altar. They did bow at the image and present their gifts to it. They did enter the baptismal pool or bow at the communion table, and they felt real good about it. But these are but religious experiences and are as worthless as a man in India bathing in their sacred river. They may give a religious feeling, but will not save the soul, nor change the life, nor give you something that will stand when the storm breaks. You need the real Bible experience with Christ in faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a real experience in which all your being becomes engaged, as certainly as it claims all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Years ago, they had in some churches experience meetings, but these have disappeared because so few people today have a real experience with God. Let none say, "Preacher, you can't talk with God or hear him speak to you today." To this I answer, if your God is an idol or an image or a dollar, then you are right. But my God is a living God who speaks and I can hear him, a God with whom I can commune, the communion of the Holy Spirit I can experience every day. The Son of God said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." If you have not heard that voice calling you out of death into life, it is certain you are still the same old sinner you've always been. Real Christians love to sing, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest." So now we shall have a good old time experience meeting. We shall first hear from a man who really knows what he's talking about. For this man has had almost every kind of a human experience. As one both loved and hated, from the humble life of a shepherd to a king on the throne. As a shepherd lad, he killed a bear and a lion, and with only a sling, he faced a huge giant that made armies of big soldiers tremble. So let me introduce to you David, the son of Jesse, for him to tell us his greatest experience with God. Listen. As David tells us his experience, "The Lord heard my cry, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust." Now when David says, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust," I say amen. And millions more cry amen and amen. For we too have proven the blessedness of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say? Our experience meeting is now open for questions. Number one asks, What did David mean by that horrible pit? I remember when he was in a cave, but what is that pit? That pit is the pit of sin. It is truly a horrible pit. It's all dark with slimy walls. You try to scale them, but only fall back into its miry clay. Question two, but how do you know all that about it? I ought to know, for I was born in that pit, and I spent 14 miserable years in it, that horrible pit of sin. David was born in it, that's why he said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David had godly parents, and so had I. But we were both born under sin, as the Bible says. And God condemns everyone with these words, they are all under sin. Question three, hold on there, preacher. You mean God condemns us for being born in that pit? We had nothing to do with our birth. Let us read the condemnation carefully. They are all under sin. God does not condemn you because you were born in that pit, but because you are in it today. Whose fault is that? Your father's? No, it is your fault. God sent his son to save you out of that horrible pit of sin, but you turned Christ down and returned to your sin and chose the darkness of sin rather than God's light because you love sin. I plead with you to turn from your sin to God. David did, and he rejoiced. Millions more have, and we are all so glad to get out of that horrible pit. Words cannot express our joy. And David said, The Lord brought me out of the miry clay. What's that? That miry clay is man's sins. Sin is like a swamp. It sucks you in. Sin is like quicksand. You step on it, you feel yourself sinking. You struggle, and it's up to your waist, and still you're going down. Sin works death. It is too strong for you. It masters you. It shows who's the big boss. Young folks, hear me good. You are no match for sin. It will get you. It will conquer you. You need a savior, a deliverer. You need Jesus. When? When you're dying in disgrace in the gutter? No, right now. You already are sinking in sin. You feel it. You know it. Parents and school teachers may call you a good boy or a good girl, but you know better, and so does God. Sin is already gripping you. You are sinking. Hear me. Just as soon as you feel yourself sinking, right then, call for help. Simon Peter once felt himself sinking in the waves. He didn't wait till he was about to go down the last time. No, right then he cried, Lord, save me. Young folks, right now, cry that cry and be saved from a wrecked life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Remember, sin is like quicksand. When that young fella took his first can of beer, he never intended to become a drunkard. When that chap put the first cigarette to his lips, he didn't plan on being a pack-a-day slave to nicotine. When that girl tried her first fling at sex, she little dreamed she was starting on a harlot's life. Sin will ruin you. See what it has done for others, and you will be no exception. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Young folks, the Lord Jesus wants to save you from wrecking your life in sin. Call upon him today. But my message reaches many a drunkard, dope addict, harlot, and adulterer who are already sunk way down in sin. Oh, hear these words, Jesus saves. If I could only speak two words, and those words would be carried around this old sinful world, I would cry, Jesus saves. No case is too hard for the Lord Jesus. No sinner is too far in the mire for him to save you. So whoever you are, and whatever you have done, call upon the Lord Jesus to save you. Call, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Please save me, Lord Jesus. That cry will break the heavens open and bend low the piercing hands of the Savior, low enough to pull you up out of that miry clay, and you will sing like David, The Lord heard my cry and brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. But the Lord doesn't just pull you out of the pit. David's testimony was, "He set my feet upon a rock." That's why Christians sing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Today, people are grabbing for something to get hold of, something you can get your teeth in, as they say. Christ is the answer, the sure foundation, the rock that never shakes. Hear the divine word. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, Christ Jesus." Without that rock, you shall one day sink into the bottomless pit. Don't wait till then to learn that you need Christ, a solid rock. And David, the sweet singer of Israel, said, "The Lord put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God." The Lord can do this for you. Instead of the curses will be the songs of redemption. Instead of the griping will be the songs of praise. Did you know that the true Christian is the only person who has a real reason to sing? You people of the world sing, but your singing is like a boy who whistles as he passes the graveyard at night. You make a lot of noise to keep from hearing the voice of God and the voice of your conscience speaking to you. And the world's songs only last a year or so. They're so hollow. But the Christian hymns are sung for centuries, for they have a solid reality to them. Death tears off all pretension. It leaves only the reality. Let us turn death loose then. First, into a group of worldly singers. He breaks up their song and they scatter. Let us in thought follow them. They are in hell. We ask them, "Why don't you sing? You used to sing on earth." They would say, "No one sings down here." And they would wail, "We are tormented in this flame." Death smashed their pretentious singing. It was only a bluff. Death now strikes its blow into a group of singing Christians. We follow them to see if they sing after death. As we draw near to heaven, we hear the sweetest singing we ever heard. And everyone joins in as they sing, "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Death did not stop the Christian singing. It was real. Now for the big question. Why did David have this experience and so many others do not? And why is it still that way today? David said, "The Lord heard my cry." That's it. The Lord Jesus, who is mighty to save, is waiting for your cry. The cry of a lost soul in deep earnestness to be saved. Neighbor, be sure of one thing today, that you in deep earnestness call on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation. Then you will have what it takes to stand in the storm about to break on this old world. You'll have a real experience with the Lord Jesus, and you can sing with David, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." Amen. Neighbor, by now you know I'm not a sensational preacher trying to say something smart and thrilling, but I'm a practical man presenting to you solemn facts to be soberly faced and acted upon. And I preach to you God's word, and my preaching is patterned after the Bible preaching. I'm not a college manufactured preacher, nor am I a self-made man. But I have been taught and prepared for my ministry by the Holy Spirit. And now he has sent me forth to a world of lost men. And he has given me his message to declare. This makes my ministry a certainty with no argument and no compromise. And therefore very solemn, both for me as I preach and for you as you listen. What then is my closing word to this message? It is this. No matter how the Bible presents God's salvation, it always insists that we, each one, you for yourself and I for myself, must have a personal experience with God and with his Son, the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, search your past life looking for this. Search and see. First, when did I repent toward God of my many sins and seek his mercy and his deliverance from my sins? When? Second, when did I, as a lost sinner, call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me? When? Third, when did I experience the blessedness of knowing that Christ had received me as his very own and he gave me the Holy Spirit to dwell in me to transform all my life? When?
win, win. And if honestly before God and with your own soul, you must confess these three experiences I have never had in all my life to this hour. If this is your confession, I thank God. You have taken the first step, an honest confession. Now follow my God-given advice. Get alone with God and in your honest confession cry, "Oh my God, I can't go on any longer this way. I just must get right with Thee now. And I must have that personal experience with Thy Son, Jesus Christ. I must know that Thy Holy Spirit dwells in me to engineer and empower my life for Thee. Lord Jesus Christ, I call on Thee to save me now and make real to me that I am Thine and Thou art mine. I just can't live in another day without this experience." Neighbor, if you thus approach my God, I know and I assure you, you will have an experience so real to you, the Lord Jesus will be a living reality to your soul forever, an experience that will show itself in your life from this hour. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through His bondservant, David Brinkman.